Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 23, stanzas 2, 3, and 6. From heaven, the Lord with searching eye looked down the sons of men to try, to see if any understood, and sought for God the only good. 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 23.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the book Proverbs and are of the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4, But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away. Unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We will now go over to the reading of the form of the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins, and a daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented, without spot or wrinkle, among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father and Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony, that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testified with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children therein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. Thus far.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and unto our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed, and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Van Hagenbosch? Father and Mother Anker. Father and Mother De Young. Dear parents, we have just heard out of the form the blessed significance of baptism, that it indeed witnesseth and it sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. How is it now in your heart as parents? Do you also have a heart that longs both for yourselves and for your children, and that your sins and your children's sins may be washed away? Because if our heart does not pant after such a blessing, why then ought we to bring our child and present them for baptism? Then indeed, and then it is not but custom and superstition. What do our fathers say here is now included in that great blessing of the washing away of our sins. That is, two things. We read that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. What is that? Do you recognize that? That is what we have spoken about last week when we spoke out of the Heidelberg Catechism about justification. Thus, who is able to overestimate the blessing that is signified and sealed in holy baptism? What man is able to stand before the judgment seat of God in the end of his life outside of this great blessing? That is now the blessing that gives to us and our children the right unto eternal life. And that is now contained in baptism. But there is a second blessing. We read, the Holy Ghost assures us that He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle from among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. There are many that desire to be justified, but there are not many that desire to be sanctified. There are many that desire to be forgiven, but there are not many that desire to be actually delivered from their sins and to be made holy. But that is now evidence that our sin is no burden if we have no desire to be delivered from our sins. And when there is no desire for sanctification, then there will be for us and for our children no justification. Parents, you are admonished to instruct your children, not only in the guilt of sin, but also in the evil of sin, that our children and that we ourselves may hate sin, because that is the only way that a man can learn of the precious value of that which is signified in their holy baptism. May the Lord so remember you with your children. congregation while the children are brought in. We ask you to sing Psalter 133, the third stanza, and after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, verse 5. Thus, 133, the third stanza to all the coming race. Repeat the message, or this mighty God of grace is ours forevermore. Yea, he our Savior will abide, and unto death will be our guide. Carolyn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Sarah Jane, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Zachary Lloyd, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee, and that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Grant in the heart of these parents a true humility, that Thou hast given unto them such a gift, which from our side is so undeserved, and that this great responsibility may daily be bound upon their hearts. Wilt Thou humble also the grandparents, the great-grandparents, and there are those that may be in our midst, and there are also those that are far away. But then there may also be a rejoicing to see that their children may walk in the truth, that their grandchildren, that their seed may also be brought under that covenant. Lord, that Thou may remember each one of them also, that covenant which Thou hast brought them also under so very long ago, and may be continually their hope and their expectation, and that we may lose more and more what is our own strength and our own righteousness, and that more and more that faith may be given to take hold of Him whom Thou hast revealed in Thy Word, that Thou Thyself would receive the glory beginning here already by us and by our children in a true heartfelt worship here upon this world, as it is but the beginning of that eternal glorifying of Thy name, that Thou would instruct us also as a congregation, for Thy blessings over us are so multiplied, and Thou givest an increase in the numbers, but oh, that Thou would give an increase also in Thy grace, that there may be those not only to fill the outward church, but that our labors may not be in vain, and that many may be born again. Yea, that Thou would not leave one of us behind with our children as we travel upon our most solemn journey through this world. Wilt Thou then give that we may remember also and recall this day, and that which we have promised in the baptizing of our children, or in the confession of faith when we have stood here before Thee, and that we may learn to forsake this world, all that pertains unto this world, and that we may truly live as strangers and as pilgrims here below, and that we may be given daily to see and to feel and what is that one necessary thing, that a man may be born again, and that all our heart and our mind may together seek that one thing needful. Lord, remember us in this afternoon. Wilt Thou give opening in Thy holy word? Give it free course in the midst of us. Forgive and take away our many sins. Strengthen us also to bring Thy word this hour. And be Thou in our midst in mercy, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee. Let Thy Spirit dwell in me. And Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 141. And the last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour you can find in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Proverbs chapter 4, and thereof the 23rd verse. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So far are the words of our text, which is an admonishment to keep the heart. And we wish to consider this in two thoughts. First, the reason for this admonishment, and we find that in the second part, because it says, for out of it are the issues of life. Second, the substance of this admonishment, in which we find in the first part, keep thy heart with all diligence. Thus, an admonishment to keep the heart, first, the reason for this admonishment, and second, the substance of this admonishment. Solomon congregation speaks especially unto the children. We read, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. And once again in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Parents, do you speak unto your children? Grandparents, great-grandparents, do you speak sometimes also unto your grandchildren? Solomon, he gives instruction. But here we read in a special way that Solomon, he also gives warnings. And then when he is warning our children, then we find that there is none of us and that is too old to receive admonishments. We think of Solomon himself later on in his own life when he descended into the idol temples. Solomon, he says, keep thy heart. Further, we read here about the mouth and the lips and the eyes and the feet and the hands. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. But Solomon, he begins here with the heart. He says, keep thy heart. That is, in the first place. Why? Because to keep the heart, that is to keep the eyes, to keep the heart, that is to keep the mouth, that is to keep the hands, that is to keep the feet. Why? Because all these, they are following the heart. That is what Solomon says here. He says, for out of it are the issues of life. In order to understand it, then we need to think about what is actually the meaning of this word heart. And the word heart that has different meanings in the Word of God. We read, children, that Jehu drew a bow with his full strength, and he smote Jehoram, and that arrow that went out at his heart. Thus, that is his physical heart. And then what happened to Jehoram? Then we know that he died. That is saying to us that the heart, that is a vital organ in our body, that is something and that we cannot continue to exist here in the world without. And thus that word heart that is often used in a figurative sense in the Word of God. And it is taken for the inner being of a man that is over against all that is physical, over against all that is outward. David, he says, my heart and my flesh crieth out after the living God. Thus, over against the flesh, also he says, his heart, that is, in a synonymous way, that word is used with the soul, that is, the inner being of a man. So he says, my whole body and my soul, my heart and my flesh, that is to encompass my whole being, that is crying out after the living God. Sometimes, however, that word heart is used even in a more specific way. That is, that it is speaking about a certain faculty of the soul. Thus, what is the soul? Well, we might say that the soul that consists both of our mind and our heart. David, he admonished his son Solomon. He says, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Serve the Lord with your whole being, that is, with your heart and with your mind, that is, serve him with your whole inner man, serve him with your whole soul. Thus, our soul, that is our mind, and also our heart, we read. Our mind, children, you have a mind. And in school, then your teachers, then they try to instruct your mind. Will you use your mind? Will you use it to the greatest extent that you are that you can possibly use it? The Lord, he has given to you a mind. And that mind, that ability to think and to reason, that is more than all the animals can do, that is actually one of the faculties of your soul. Then we have the heart. And what is the heart? The heart, that is the other part of that soul, if you will, the other faculty of that soul. And what is now in your heart? Well, your heart that has affections. Thus, affections, what do? Affections, they love, they desire. What do we read in the Bible? We read about a broken heart. We know what that is. In this world, when a boy or a girl, they have a heart that is broken. Well, you say that is the affections. Well, when the Lord speaks about a broken heart, then he speaks about the affections, the love and the desire. And that is living in that heart of a man that is going out after that God. It is a broken heart. It is a weeping heart after a God whom they now have to miss because they have left him in their father Adam. Do we also have such a broken heart? A weeping heart? The Apostle Paul, he says, set thine affection on things above. That is, set your love on things above and not on the things on the earth. This congregation we do not do. By nature, our love, by nature, the affections of our hearts. Where are they? What are they attached to? They are attached to everything that is in this world. Thus, the heart. The heart that is in the first place, the affections that is what we love, what we love with. In the second place, the heart is the will. And what does the will do? The will that makes choices. Do you make choices? What kind of choices does your heart make? We heard last week about Moses, and that he also made a choice. Do you also make such a choice as Moses? Rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? By nature, we do not. By nature, we do not make such choices. Why not? Because the choice of our heart that is made by our heart disposition, that is our heart that is evil, it has an evil disposition. It has an evil leaning to it. Our fathers speak about that disposition in Lord's Day 2. Then they say that we are prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that we are just, somewhat inclined, as we often use the word prone. No, but that our heart that is disposed to this. This is now the leaning of our heart. We are prone to it. A tree that leans when it leans only one way. And all the fruit from that tree that is falling only on the side that tree that is leaning. The fruit of that tree cannot fall on the other side because of the very way in that tree that is leaning. Thus, our choice, the choice of our natural heart, that is a carnal choice. Why? We cannot actually choose any other way because that is the evil, the carnal disposition of our natural heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Thus Solomon, he says everything that is issuing out from that heart. That heart, he says, that is the source. That heart that is the fountain of everything that is in our life. So he says that heart that affects our eyes, that heart that affects our mouth, that affects our hands, that affects our feet, that heart that is the spring, that is the spring of all our actions, that heart that is even giving the moral character to our actions. Because two men can do the same deed. And one can be a good deed and one can be an evil deed, depending on the heart. Two men can slay a man. One can be a good, a right deed. The other can be an evil, a wrong deed, depending on what was living in his heart. So out of it are the issues of life. That heart that is affecting our whole life. And why? Because that heart that is also affecting even our very mind, the other faculty of our soul. Say, is that what it says in the Word of God? It does. Paul, he says, having the understanding, that is the mind, the understanding darkened because of the blindness or the hardness of your heart. Thus, the understanding that is darkened because our heart is hard. What does he say? He says that the very reasonings of our mind, the very judgments that our mind that is making, they are corrupted. They are corrupted because of that evil heart, because of the preferences of that heart, because of what that heart does love in and of itself. Then it is affecting also young people. It is affecting how that we are thinking, how that we are reasoning, what kinds of judgments that we are making with our mind. We ask you this. Why does a man choose with his heart, with his mind, with his heart? Why does a man choose with his will the things that are carnal? Why does he not choose the things that are spiritual? Does not our mind know that we ought to choose the things that are spiritual? We say, that is really the true good. We confess that. We confess it in an outward way. We confess it with our mind. We know what is now that true good. Do we choose it? Our heart does not. Our heart that chooses the things that are carnal, that is because of its own evil disposition. Every vain excuse that our mind that reasons with, that we may go round and round and round and make some kind of an excuse, young people, for all the things that we want to do, and that we know in our mind that we ought not to do. We know what is the true good, but actually we do not want it. Our heart does not want it. So we send our mind into a flurry of reasonings and bad judgments. Judas, did he not know what he should do? Did he not know the obligatory good? But it was not for him the preferable good. He did not prefer it. He would prefer that he may receive those riches. And then in his mind he says, well, the Lord Jesus, he will come out of this. He will bring himself out of this, and I will still receive that which my heart loves. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees and scribes? He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, evil things. How important then, congregation, is our heart? That is now what Solomon is saying here. He says that heart that is now either the seat of sin, or it is the seat of holiness. For out of it are the issues of life. Christ says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, because the tree that is known by its fruit, and out of the heart proceed adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. Thus, children, thus your father and mother, they say, you must ask the Lord for what? say, well, we are taught to ask the Lord for a new heart. That is right. That is most essential. Because out of that heart, Solomon says, are the issues of life. And what is now happening when you receive that new heart, when your heart is regenerated, then your will, that is the part that makes decisions, it does itself without us even thinking about it. Your heart is leaning always towards certain decisions. That is its proneness. And when the Lord will give you a new heart, then that tree of your heart that begins to lean in just the opposite direction, then even without the thoughts, then that proneness of your heart, that disposition of your heart that is now renewed, and then not only the will, but what is the other faculty of your heart? You say that is the affections, that is the things you love. And when you have that new heart, then you begin to love different things than you loved before. The things that you loved before, you now hate. And the things that you hated, maybe to come to God's house or to hear the Bible read, you don't say it maybe, but you were waiting for it to be done. But now the affections of the heart, they are now renewed. And now what does Solomon say? He says, out of that heart are the issues of life. Thus, when that heart is renewed, then it does not remain with that heart. No. But then that heart that is like a fountain, then it is affecting your whole life. What did the Lord Jesus say to that Samaritan woman? He says, whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst, but it shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Thus, the very reasonings and the very judgments of your mind, they will now be sanctified. They will now be made upright. Why? Because that heart is renewed. Now, that good that was your obligation before, that is not only the good you say it is my obligation, but it is now that good that your heart loves. It is now that good that your heart prefers. What now happens to sin? Well, sin is now something that you begin to hate. It is not just something now that your conscience, your mind that says, well, you may not do that. No, but for the evil of it, because it is against the Lord, because that heart is renewed, because there is a new disposition in your will, a new choice, new affections, that your heart that begins to hate sin and for the very evil of it, then your heart that begins to desire that it may be delivered from that sin, then it is not just a desire to be forgiven anymore. Then it is not just a desire to go to heaven when you die. No, then it is a desire to be made holy. Then it is a desire that you may be delivered from sin itself. And if we now know nothing of this, then indeed, congregation, we have no new heart. Let us sing. Psalter 40, 5 and 6. Oh, who can his errors discern? From hidden faults, Lord, keep me free. Let pride never reign in my heart, and clear of great sin I shall be. 5 and 6 of Psalter 40. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our second thought, the substance of this admonishment. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What does that mean? To keep. That means to guard. That means to watch over it. But it does not say here only to keep, but it says also with all diligence. We know what diligence is in the Dutch Bible. It says, translated something like above all. Thus, with all diligence, or above all other things that you keep. In the original, that word speaks about a prison. That word speaks about a jail. Thus, a guard at a jail. Thus, there is actually a doubling over that Solomon, he says, not only to watch, but he says, you must watch and you must keep that heart just as a guard that is standing guard at that prisoner, for that prisoner. And how does he stand there? Well, we know, and especially in those times, and that the guard's life, that would go for the prisoner's life. Thus it is as if he says it two times. He says, keep it, keep it. He says, watch over it, watch over it. He emphasizes it. Why? Because of the importance of that heart, he says, because out of that heart are the issues of life. So he says, you must keep it. You must keep it just as that prisoner guard, with all diligence, above everything that you would keep in this whole world. What do you keep? Many possessions. Your car. You want to keep it, young people. Lock it. No one can take it. Your house, lock it. No one can come in. Do you do the same with your heart? As it were, to lock it. so that nothing can come in that will steal your heart, so that nothing can come in that will corrupt your heart? Are we as zealous to keep our heart as we are zealous to keep all the possessions that we have in this world? Is it true that all our possessions, out of all our possessions, are the issues of life? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Who watches over their heart? We watch over our life. We do, hopefully we do. Why? Because someone will see me. That is good. Because today we even lose something of this. There is no shame today. Everyone can see what we do, and openly we will walk in the way we want to walk. No, young people. No. But now, on the other hand, it is also possible for us to have a very careful life and give that heart many liberties. Many liberties. That is not upright. That is false. If we will keep our heart, then we must know our heart. Girls, you sometimes have to keep a child, right? Then the parents of that child, then they will say to you, well, you must watch. And that child, he likes to do this, likes to climb on that. He knows he may not do it, but that is his nature. That is what he likes to do. And I want to tell you, so that you can watch. That is now also with our heart. If we do not know our heart, how can we watch our heart? Then we must know what our heart's affections are. That is, what does our heart love? What does our heart desire? What is it that our heart is always choosing? We need to know that. In order that we may keep our heart, that we may preserve our heart, that we may keep ourselves from the opportunity. Our young people, they know that. There are two things that are necessary to fall into sin. And what is that? That is the desire and the opportunity. We must know our heart. We must know our desires. We must know our propensities. We must know our disposition, our evil heart, that we may keep from the opportunity to sin. What did Joseph do? He fled from that house. You do that too, young people? Flee because you know your heart. The Lord says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What did David say? He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why? He knew his heart. Do you know your heart? Do you know the evil risings of your heart? How can you know that? The evil risings of your heart. It is not so easy as we can know the things that are outward. Because to know our heart, then we have to watch the things also that are inward. There are people, they say, if only the Lord was so willing as I am, surely I would be converted. But congregation, then we do not know our heart. Then we do not know what is the choice of our heart. David, he says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why? Because he did not know his heart. Because he knew it. Because he knew that that heart is deceitful. It is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. That same people, they also know that they cannot keep their heart. David, he cried out, "Oh Lord," he says, "keep my soul, my whole soul, keep my will, keep my affections, keep my thoughts, keep my reasonings, keep my judgments, keep my whole soul." And when we cannot know our heart and we cannot keep our heart, then what becomes necessary for the people? Well, that through church, when they cannot know and keep their own heart, then they begin to learn that they have need of Christ. And not only of Christ, because we can easily say that, but the Lord, he works by points. The Lord, he works by particulars. He instructs a man not in general about sin, but he instructs a man specifically what sin is and what is living in his own heart. And when a man experiences that he cannot know his heart, then he comes to need Christ in his prophetic office. That the Lord would teach him and show him what is living in his heart. That is now the manner that the Lord instructs that people to need him also in his priestly office. Why? That they may, because they cannot rid their heart, that they may be forgiven the sins of their heart. So they come to need him also in his kingly office. Why? Because even when they cannot know their heart, and then they also cannot keep their heart, then it is in his kingly office that Christ, he is leading that people that he may keep their heart. You say that is a people with a new disposition. That is now a people with a new leaning. That is so true. And yet, congregation, what do our fathers say? They say it is a people with a small beginning of that obedience. There is so much that hinders that people with the desires of that new heart, that new life, those new affections. Then it is not the choice of that new heart to depart from the Lord's ways. No, Paul says, to will is present with me. That was a new disposition. That was a new leaning of that tree. To will that is present with me. But he says, how to perform the thing which is good, I find not. Then, so he says, so then, it is no more I that do it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. That is now the warfare. The warfare of the church. Even till that flesh that is put down, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Congregation, we are responsible They're responsible for the choices, for the leaning, for the disposition of our natural heart. And because we are responsible for that heart, we are responsible for everything that is flowing out of that heart. Mind, eyes, the hands, the feet, and the mouth. You say, but it is the only choice I can make. That is true. That is true. And yet it is a choice of our heart. That is, that it is the willing choice of our heart. Do you ever feel that? When your heart chooses carnality over spirituality, when your heart chooses that, is it because you were forced to choose it? Or was it not because your heart actually loves it? So it is. That is now why that we are responsible for every one of those evil choices that our heart is making. O congregation, do you ever feel the need for a new heart? We often say that to our children, but it can be that we have grown up in the house of God our whole life long, and we still have no new heart. Do you ever lay that before the Lord? To say, Lord, I'm also baptized. Maybe many, many years ago. And I still have no new heart. Baptism that is not only for these children. Baptism that is not only for these parents. Baptism that is a visible sign and seal. That is administered in the midst of the whole congregation. And our congregation, that renewal of the heart, that is part of the promise of the Lord in baptism. That renewal of the heart that has been merited for His church by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is now a benefit that is flowing out of His mediatorial work. Will we then not point the Lord even in this day when we go from this place and say, Lord, I lack the beginning. Wilt thou make me like a little child? Wilt thou give me a new heart? Wilt thou give me a new will? Wilt thou give me new affections? Wilt thou give me to love thee? The Lord give us to storm the throne of grace while it is still called today. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, the benefits that thou hast merited for thy church, they are so very many. They are so very great. And we have heard a little of justification, of sanctification, but now even the very, very beginning, that new heart. Oh Lord, we have had it administered in our midst. We beseech thee, grant thy blessing upon word and sacrament. Send us from this place with a cry unto the Lord of Sabaoth, the covenant God, that we may plead as Jacob, who would not let thee go, and that thou wouldst bless us. Remember us, Lord, undeservedly. We may acknowledge thee for thy help given unto us in this day. Wilt thou be with us when we depart from here? Help each one of us in all the labors of our hands in the week to come, also when there may be traveling. And wilt thou keep us from all sin? And wilt thou give that thy word may have a place, not only just for a moment, but that it may have a sanctified place within the heart of young and old for Jesus' sake. Amen. 428 stanzas 2 and 10. O let thy spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed, to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. And what follows in 2 and 10 of Psalter 428. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.